Please open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27. Hebrews, chapter 9 and verse 27. The writer to the Hebrews says, "And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. So, Christ, also having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time." Look at those words again. "Shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await Him." Now we have a couple of words that are more important than we might think. There's, in verse 27, the word "as." Just two letters, "as," "inasmuch as." Then, in verse 28, the very first word is a two-letter word, "so." Now think of that for a moment, and let's go back and look at it again, emphasizing those words. "Inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await Him." By those two little words, "as" and "so," the writer to the Hebrews is setting before us two very vital truths. And he is showing us the parallel between them. The first truth is a truth which is generally acknowledged by all men. It's appointed unto men once to die. Now that is a sobering truth. The second truth is the truth which the writer desires to import. In fact, it is a truth that concerns the first truth. And that is a general rule. This truth, it's appointed unto men once to die. That is a general rule to which there have been very few exceptions. Can you think of some? Yes. There were those who were raised from the dead. There were those who were transported to heaven. Very few. But the general rule is this: it is appointed unto men once to die. Now, part of the parallel that the writer is pointing out is this: as men die but once, so Christ dies but once. Very important. Very vital truth. That takes away with the Mass. He's not crucified over again and again and again. Our scriptures tell us He died once. Once. That's it. You see, as the law requires but one death in paying for the penalty of sin, so Jesus Christ, having offered that one death as a ransom for His people, fulfilled that requirement. Christ died according to the Scriptures. He died once. Now, there is a sense in which our Scripture sets before us two events. When we were working with a mission in Phoenix, we were working with the young people. And Laura and Lewis, my kids, were just a little bit older. They were kind of about college age, but they were helping me work with the young people. And part of what we did each year was we had what we called a big event. That was what we named it. And it was a special program put on by the teens around 4th of July. Held in the parking lot of the church, and there was patriotic skits, and it was quite a deal. It took a lot of work, but we called it the big event. Driving down the street in Moxahatchee, there's a large, nice, beautiful building, and it's called the Event Center. What's it for? Weddings, anniversaries. It's the Event Center. Now, I want us to get this into our mind. Our text sets before us two events for man. What are those two events? Death and judgment. Those are going to happen. Those are the two events coming up. Death and what follows death. Judgment. Listen to these words. Where death finds you, it will leave you. And where death leaves you, judgment will find you. And where judgment finds you, it will leave you for all eternity. Two events. Death and judgment. Look at Hebrews 9:27. To underscore what I'm saying. Hebrews 9:27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, that's one event. What's the next event? And after this comes the judgment. But our text in verse 28 also makes it very clear that there are two events for Christ. Two events. Look at verse 28. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear, look at it carefully, a second time. That's the second event. The second coming of Christ. What was the first event? Christmas Day. We use the word Christmas. The birth of Christ. That was His first event. His first appearance. He's coming back. And that's the second event. Now, those two events are not only different, They're vastly different. I could even use the word extremely different. The first event involved is suffering. What about the second event? Victory. Triumph. Now, in spite of those vast dissimilarities, I want you to think about this. There are some ways in which those events are similar. They are similar in that both events are personal. Where do we have in the manger a person? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is it that's coming back? An angel? A couple of them maybe? No. Christ. Both events involve a person. That's the first similarity. Christ came the first time. He didn't come as a spirit. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones. Turn with me to John chapter 1 and verse 14. John 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh. When did that happen? At His birth, what we refer to as Christmas, celebrating His birth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. In that body, He suffered on the cross. What about the second coming? What a glorious thought. Should we not give much thought to the return of Christ? Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 1, our Lord's words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Our Lord said, or the disciples said of our Lord's going to heaven, "And Jesus, who has been taken up from you to heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched Him go." It's wonderful to celebrate that first event, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, taking on Himself flesh and becoming a man, and living a perfect life. Never a sin. You see, the life He lived qualified Him for the death He died. Had He but lost His temper once with His parents, He could not have been your Savior. Perfect life. And we have much reason, do we not, to turn our thoughts, even on this day, to His birth. Now, there's some other matters concerning these two events of Christ, first and His return. This is interesting. Both of these events are going to be the fulfillment of a promise. And I think we should keep that in mind as we go through these next 2 days of Christmas and all that that means. It should mean this. It should mean this. That His birth was promised. And His return is also promised. And what precious promises they are. Well, we could go back to Genesis to see the promise even of His birth in those days, but I want us to turn our thoughts to John 14, verse 2. John 14, verse 2 and 3. Our Lord, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, here's the promise, I will come again. That's a promise from the Lord Himself, and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, these two appearances are very similar, and not only that they were both promised, but they were both unexpected, even though they had been prophesied, even though they had been promised. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, very few people, dear people, were looking for Him, although He had been promised. Simeon and Anna and a few other humble souls were aware of what was about to happen. The others knew that the patriarchs and prophets and their nation had foretold His birth, but their lives revealed that it was no longer a reality to them. And I want you to hear that very, very well. It was written, they knew it, they were intellectually aware of it, but they had long since lost the reality of His birth, as promised in the Scriptures. Very few were looking for Him. But what about His return? Few are looking for the return of Christ. How do we know that? Listen to the words of Matthew. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in the days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. Listen, so shall the coming of the Lord be. How many people have a Bible? How many people have read the Bible? How many sit under preaching? And the return of Christ is foretold and preached and made certain. How many people are even thinking about it, aware of it, let alone living in expectation of it? Very few, a handful of people, even thought about the reality of the birth of Christ. But it happened. It happened right on time. Right according to God's eternal plan and purpose. And dear ones, so will the second coming of Christ be. Just as certain. How often have you thought about that this week? As you were driving to Walmart, as you were preparing dinner, whatever, how many times in this past week? Did the thought, even thought, cross your mind? Our Lord is going to return. Well, a third likeness is that Christ in both events comes to bless His people. His people. Who are His people? They are the ones who have been purchased by His death on the cross, and those whom He has drawn to Himself in salvation. I like those two words, His people. And what a glorious thing it is to think of the blessing it will be for His people, His return. The blessing He brought the first time, Himself, salvation. The blessing He brings the second time to be with Him for all eternity. Years ago, I had opportunity to listen to a series of tapes on eschatology. They were taught by a man by the name of Strimpel at the Westminster Seminary in California. And he said when he was going to seminary that the seminary had a gymnasium. And there were some of the students, men playing basketball, and there was a caretaker sitting over in the corner reading a book. And he said, so two or three of the guys, theological students in the seminary, went over to this guy that was reading. They found that he was reading his Bible. And one of the students said to him, what are you reading? He says, I'm reading the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation? One of the students said to the older gentleman, says, do you understand it? He says, of course I understand it. So one of the seminary students said, really, what does it mean? And he replied, he's going to win. He's going to win. And he is going to win on that final day of judgment. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Two events, very similar, very dissimilar. And while we can rejoice in the first event, we should equally rejoice in the second event. He's going to win. He's going to win. Keep that in mind. And anticipate His return. Let's pray. Our gracious God, we pray that You will write these truths upon our hearts today as we think of the birth of Christ, our Lord and Savior. But may we also think about His return any day now. And He's going to win. What a glorious day that will be. Help us to look forward to it, to anticipate it, and may it influence our thinking, our living, our priorities. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.